SBS Radio.
Everyone across Australia has had to adapt to what is the new COVID normal, and that means different things for different people depending on where you live. But if you're an artist or a creative, it is also a new space to be working across during the pandemic. So how have Indigenous artists, creatives and dancers adapted to the coronavirus restrictions? And how do they, as producers, keep the creativity flowing for performers and for audiences? And how have First Nations producers had to quickly adapt to what is now the new normal while still having to deliver to audiences in different ways? I'm Kerry Lee Harding and this is the NITV Podcast.
In the beginning it was pretty daunting because we're so used to putting on a physical event. So to put everything online was a bit of a challenge in the beginning. You know, not only were we dealing with the whole COVID and the, you know, the pandemic and going through all these restrictions and having our community and our artists, you know, in lockdown.
You just heard there from Janina Harding, Artistic Director for the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, or CIAF as it's known. And it was the very first Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander festival to be delivered to online audiences across Australia and to the world. So, how challenging was it for the CIAF team to put together an online festival for the very first time?
Before we even started doing anything, it had to go through the board and get the blessings of the board. So that did take about, you know, I don't know how we did it, but we managed to compile the business case, which was about 80 pages, in about 2 to 3 weeks. Everything was just, it was like everything was fast-tracked because, and I don't, you know, thinking back on this, we all heard about COVID and, you know, people starting to, you know, be put into lockdown in March. And we didn't kind of get the blessing from the board until probably late April. And then we presented this whole thing online, the whole event online in August. So, you know, we're only talking about a few months to get all this together. So it was so challenging. But in the end, I guess what happened in the end and what the, you know, what we saw probably in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks before we actually launched it was when things started forming and all coming together. And it was the beautiful moments you have with artists, the conversations that you have, and then the videos that we were sent by, you know, community and by some of the production organisations that we actually contracted. We're sending all this wonderful material that I had to go through and sort of work out, well, how are we going to, you know, because I had to, you know, do the program. So what time of the day and when are we going to show this and how do we show this whole thing? Because our event usually only goes for a few days and we managed to show it all online. We actually presented it over a 10-day period.
Even though CIAF has been running for 10 years, for the team, it was like a whole new event delivering arts and crafts online to new audiences.
And then there was a whole thing about how do we sell artwork online? How do we do that? So we had to build a shop. We had to build a whole new website. Everything was just like, it was like starting, even though, you know, we've been doing this event for 10 years, we pretty much had to work it all out again, how we presented everything online.
Kim Walker is the CEO of the NASDA Dance College, the National Dance College for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students. Well, this year has been a year like no other, with the college teaching dance classes online and having to conduct auditions for the prospective class of 2021.
I think like every other training organisation and every other business in Australia,
it's extremely different. All of the usual events that we normally have planned, where we celebrate, where we come together, where we rehearse, like our graduation, our mid-year show, our end-of-year shows, are not there. So, you know, it's really taken, you know, kind of thrown us a little bit, because we don't have the highs and lows of performing. So that's very challenging. And, yeah, so we've kind of got through that in certain different ways. We've had to deliver online for a whole term because all of our students we sent home very early on in the piece, because we had a lot of young people from community, especially up in northeast Arnhem Land, and we wanted them to be very, very safe, and we didn't want to be any kind of, any even close to them being close to COVID and then going back into community, because we know how devastating that would be.
For the very first time in NASDA history, auditions are now taking place online. And this is all new for the team at NASDA and for those people auditioning online.
Well, we wanted to be fair and equal to everyone. We didn't know what the situation was going to be in terms of auditions and whether we could fly people in. Because normally we bring people from all over Australia to, you know, come to NASDA for a week so they can get a feel for it, and we get to know them, and we can kind of, you know, really kind of work out if it's the best place for them. So this year we've gone all online, and Celeste and Dion, our head of dance, have been putting together this online program, which is fantastic, and people have been really engaging in it. So they get to learn a few dances, so they can upload those and learn those. Then we're having a series of Zoom classes that they can join in, just so they get a feel of NASDA. And then when the auditions close, then we'll kind of open it up, and we'll start doing interviews with them through Zoom and through different, you know, whatever methods we can do, because people come from very, very different places. And from there, we'll be kind of, you know, selecting our students for 2021. And next year, we'll also bring them in a week earlier before anyone else comes, so we can have that time with them, just with them getting to know NASDA.
So, what have been some of the challenges faced by NASDA in 2020 with the auditions happening online?
So, the challenges have been some technology in terms of people coming from areas with not the necessary technology, so we've had to get around that a little bit. And just being able to engage with them. Also, students with the dates the students, you know, are going through their HSC. So they've found that a little bit difficult in terms of, I'm studying for my HSC, I'm doing my, you know, I want to do my NASDA audition. So we've extended the audition period, which has been fantastic, for the next couple of weeks, which is great. And so they'll be able to join at a different time.
Kim Walker from NASDA is looking forward to the end of the year, where they will deliver and perform a dance event online and will share the celebrations right around Australia. But in the meantime, they are delivering online a new advanced diploma for those with some dance experience.
Oh, it's pretty good, and it's pretty fantastic. And we've got a great group of young people who come in each year, and then they, you know, they go through the process. And one of the things we're doing this year is we're starting an advanced diploma, and that's for people who have got dance experience or have been out into the industry for a while and want to come back and engage. So they might want to come back and engage to upskill where they what they're doing. They also might be cultural practitioners and want to come back and study just cultural dance and all the things that go with, you know, having a cultural practice. So that's very exciting as well. Well, just look out for NASDA, you know, check the website regularly, www.nasda. Call us if you have any questions on 1800 117 116. We're here all the time. Speak to Celeste. She'll take your call, which would be fantastic. And look out between the first week of December, we'll be doing, hopefully doing some end-of-year celebrations, Zooming and streaming them live around Australia.
Marinda Donnelly is a part of the Black Curatorium at the Brisbane Festival 2020, which was on from the 4th to the 26th of September. This year's Black Festival program was delivered to COVID safety guidelines.
So I guess I come at this with a couple of different hats on. The first one being that in my role at Black Dance, we were producing a production that was premiering at the Brisbane Festival, Silence by Coral Projects, which I've just mentioned earlier. And then wearing a different hat as a member of the Black Curatorium of the Brisbane Festival, we were working with a number of different offerings through the First Nations program at this year's Brisbane Festival. From my perspective as being the executive producer of Black Dance and producing a show for Brisbane Festival, it was a really different experience this time round, particularly because of the amount of negotiations that we had to go through to find out even if the work would premiere. There was a period around April, May and June, that sort of 3 months, where we had about, at any given time, between 8 and 16 different budgets, all different versions of the way that the work may or may not be shown. At one stage, it was going to be an online offering, and then at another stage it was going to be a small showing in development in situ, so in a performance theatre but with limited capacity and not the full length production. At another stage it was going to be the full length production and a premiere with general public attending, and you know, so we were sort of on this merry-go-round with the company about where it would land, and it was, it was pretty psychologically intense for us as the producers and for Thomas E.S. Kelly and his company, Coral Projects, because if you can imagine being told in a short period of time that there's, you know, all these different ways that the work is going to happen, and each time we negotiated, we thought that that was going to be the one and that that was how the work would be presented. And so, it was very stop, start, back to the beginning again. and I guess we managed that as best as we could, and everyone was very understanding of the situation that we're in. So in the end, the work called Silence, which is an intergenerational outcry for treaty. It was presented at the Brisbane Powerhouse as a world premiere during the Brisbane Festival to sold-out audiences for 4 nights and a couple of matinee seasons. So I guess in the end that was the best-case scenario. The seating plan for a sold-out audience during COVID is, like, they call it checkerboard seating, so you can only have one person every 2 metres away, although you could cluster or bubble particular families or work units. So, you know, it was probably 50% of the normal seating bank for a theatre, and, you know, it was really exciting that in the end it got to a world premiere.
Like all events at the moment, there were safety precautions and COVID-safe plans for artists and audience members.
Yes, so we worked with Ausdance Queensland and Ausdance National here at Black Dance to develop up a set of dance safety guidelines. So the dancers were on the production that we delivered for Brisbane Festival. The dancers had to abide by the safety guidelines in the Ausdance Queensland guidelines. And then at Black Dance, we have our own COVID safety guidelines. And then for the creative development at Hotter, Home of the Arts on the Gold Coast, and at the Brisbane Powerhouse here in Brisbane, both of those venues had their own COVID safety guidelines, which the dancers had to abide by when they were in the rehearsal space. And then when the festival world premiere happened for the work Silence by Coral Projects that we were producing, the company and the audience members had to also abide by the Brisbane Festival's COVID safety guidelines and the Brisbane Powerhouse GP, audience member guidelines. So there were 6 or 7 different COVID safety plans for the one production that we were juggling, and it was kind of a tapestry of different COVID safety guidelines, and we had to go and have conversations at different points throughout the development of the production for Silence with the cast and crew about what guidelines we were currently under, and as we moved towards the premiere and the work that had been in development was starting to have an engagement with general public and our communities who were attending, we then had to have another conversation about what that meant and what particular guidelines, anything outside of the theatre but in the foyer, meant that we were under at that time. And at Black Dance every morning, we had a COVID safety check-in with the cast and crew. There was like, I think, probably 11 different things that we did for that work to premiere at the Brisbane Festival.
And this is it for this episode of our podcast series. Thank you to our guests today, Kim Walker, CEO of NASDA, Marinda Donnelly from the Black Curatorium at the Brisbane Festival 2020, and Janina Harding, Artistic Director of the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair. I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and this is the NITV podcast. And you can listen to our other NITV podcasts, Take It Black and Ballin' Out. And you can listen just by going to where you get your podcasts from.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.